God is good. Amen? Amen. There's a sermon in every one of them songs, really. Every one of them. When I think of the water that He's called us to walk out onto, sometimes it seems like it's over our head. And sometimes it seems like the waves and winds of life are just about to consume us. Have you been there? And then the Master reaches out His hand once more and brings us back. Brings us unto Himself. We're going to pray. And so, let's just seek Him for a moment in prayer. Father, thank You for being so gracious and merciful. Thank You for Your great love for us, Your patience and kindness and willingness to forgive. Thank You for helping us through times when the waves seemed about to consume us and engulf us and swallow us up. And when we looked again, there was the hand of the Master. Reaching out to help us through whatever it is we're going through. I pray for these families, Father, families that are sitting here this morning that have lost their loved one in the last 1, 2, 3 weeks. I pray that You would comfort them and help them to see the hand of Jesus reaching out to them again. I thank You, Father, that Catherine is home. The doctors would say she's in remission. We thank You for that. Thank You for being with those in the care center and those in hospital beds. There are many. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would put people in their paths, that they would know, maybe for the first time, or be reassured of the hand of Jesus reaching out to them and saying again, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Thank You for everyone here, Lord. You know our hearts. You know our tomorrows and how many we've got. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that we in this church and churches everywhere and beyond, people that don't go to church, people that don't care about You at all, I pray that they would come to know You as Lord and serve You faithfully until that day You call us home. And so guide us here this morning, Father, as we continue to worship You. I pray in the precious name of our Lord. Amen. I wanted to give you an opportunity to give God glory this morning. Every time I go over to see this little pumpkin at her mom and daddy's house, I'm marveling at the grace of God. And so I just wanted you to see the doctors would call her in remission. I just want to give you an opportunity to give God glory for His goodness today. She's back here with us. We didn't know if that was going to happen. So will you give God glory for our little pumpkin? I will need a Bible. Last Sunday, I spoke to two of you here, Roy Bell about his sister and Ron Stokes about his mother. And in the next 24 hours for one and 3 days for the other, they are both gone to eternity. Me again, how we have no guarantees of tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And a casual understanding in your mind and your head knowledge, I believe in God, is a good place to start, but it's not enough. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. And so I call upon you again this morning, friends. If you haven't made right with God, get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ before it is too late. Eternity is waiting for all of us. And only those who have put their faith completely and squarely and solidly in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who have been born again, will be part of the kingdom. We must not delay. Proverbs. There are many lessons, and I want to speak to one today. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Proverbs. For the time we have, I want to touch on a subject that I have never spoken about before. I am not an expert in child raising. As a matter of fact, I have made plenty of mistakes. And every one of us would say we change our child rearing tactics from one child to the next, and we change even more when it comes to grandchildren. Amen? I am no expert, not even close to an expert in child psychology. I do not have all the answers, but I do have the Word of God. Proverbs has much to say about many topics, and today we're going to be talking about correcting in love. And so, I'm going to pass along to you biblical principles today suggesting that God corrects whom He loves. And according to Scripture, so should we as parents. Proverbs 10 and 1. I'm going to be jumping around. There's about 9, 10 verses here. Stay with me. Proverbs 10, 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. And so I've been thinking about this week. What in the world makes a son or daughter wise? Are they born that way? Probably not, unless God has instilled in them a wisdom from Him. I believe one of the keys to wisdom for our children and for us is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 and Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 3. They all say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I believe that one of the ways for us to help instill wisdom is to counsel our children, to give direction, to give instruction, and hopefully that is godly instruction, and to make correction. What do I mean when I say correction? Let us consider again the Proverbs. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom the Lord loves, He corrects." Yes, He will redirect your path. The Lord loves you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," that is everybody. He loves you, He loves me, and He will make corrections in your life's path if you need correcting, because He loves you. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Who among us this morning likes to be corrected? That's what I thought. Nobody. Catherine doesn't either. I got over there the other day to see how she was doing, and as I walked up onto the steps, they have a door and a screen door, and she was peering out over the door through the screen, crying her eyes out, tears running down, waiting for Papa to come and rescue her up. And I reached down and grabbed her up, and she buried her head in my shoulder and cried. And I said, "What has happened?" Mama simply said, well, she was pouring water in the couch. And I said, no, no, Catherine. She doesn't like to be corrected either. None of us do. But when behavior is wayward, correction must happen for the betterment of the child or the person. Amen? When our behavior starts to go south when it should be going north, God is going to put things in your path and mine to correct our wayward behavior. And Solomon says the same is true with our children. God corrects our wayward behavior simply and purely because He loves us too much to let us go in that direction we have chosen for ourselves. I have said that over and over and over. He loves you. He loves the wayward too much to let them keep going that way into self-destruction. He loves the unsaved too much to let them keep going. He will put obstacles in your path to bring you back. He will put things like the prodigal son in a case of starvation and famine and desperation. He will do that because He loves you too much to let you go to self-destruction and eventually possibly to hell if you never come to Him. He loves you too much for that, and He will correct you to bring you back. I say, thank you, Lord, for caring about us that much, even when we are wayward. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. We talked about God hating some things these last 3 weeks from Proverbs 6:16-19. And the Word of God says that if we're not going to discipline and correct our children's bad behavior, Proverbs says, he who spares his rod hates his son. That's pretty strong language. I am in no way, shape, or form talking about being abusive or child abuse. Not in any way, shape, or form. I am talking about controlled discipline, correcting in love. But he who loves him, Solomon says, their child, will discipline them promptly. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten your son. I just noticed as I was reading through this about the 10th time this last week, ladies might feel kind of a relief out of there because he always says, son, chasten your son, take the rod after your son. But he's really talking about children in general. Proverbs 19:18, chasten your son while there is hope and do not set your heart on his destruction. Friends, if we do not take some action when there are trainable moments and opportunities, those opportunities for training and instruction and correction, there will come a time when it is too late to train and to correct and to discipline. It'll be too late. Don't give up on their outcome. Never give up. God hasn't given up on us. But He also says, don't beat them silly. Take the opportunities to lovingly discipline so that in the future there will be less of those mistakes and those problems made. Phil Robertson said it this way in the Duck Commander Bible. He said, the boys knew the Robertson clan code. You disrespect your mother. You tear up perfectly good stuff. You get in fist fights with other kids where you're starting to exchange blows. And there will be a consequence. And the consequence that awaits will, when you get home, will be three light slams with the belt. The Robertson clan code, it was called. The code was simple. The code was carried out. And the boys knew if they disrespected their mother, their dad would step in and consequences would even be more severe. He took this very literally when he said, chasten your sons while there is hope. Proverbs 22:6. Everybody knows this one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse is one that is probably used and maybe even misused more than any other proverb. The real meaning behind this verse is really, I did some digging this past week or so, and I really found several different insights on this. But I've come to conclude, as others have, the real meaning behind this verse is this. Each and every child is different. You know what I'm saying? They are unique. We were unique when we were children. We are not exactly like, in my case, seven other siblings. Each one of them will learn differently. Each one will respond differently. Each one will respond differently to different things. And as parents, it is our responsibility to find out these things and work with them to take advantage of their God-given strengths and to help them along the way. This is not saying let them do what they want to do. It is saying come alongside of them and their God-given strengths and mold them into the men and women of God that God would have them to be using their strengths to guide them, and when they are old, they will not depart from that. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. None of us would argue the first part of this verse, I doubt. Can I get a witness? Foolishness is bound up not only in the heart of a child, but there's a fair amount of foolishness in some of us adults sometimes. Solomon simply says to help minimize the foolishness, there will be times of correction when that is needed, and there will be times the rod of correction will be needed. My seventh grade music teacher, I'm not saying any names. Seventh and eighth grade boys' choir had the guys in the wood shop keep him well stocked in long wooden paddles. I'm not talking boat oars either. I'm talking the kind that he used on your behind. And each time someone would get out of line in seventh and eighth grade boys' choir, they were brought up front and the it was fashioned like a beaver tail, about that wide, about that long, with a long handle. So one good swing took care of the behavior. I assure you, it was effective. So much so that there was peer pressure from some of the rest of us, do not get out of line, because on occasion he'd take us all through the paddle. The thought from some psychologists in the 80s, I read both from Dr. Dobson, who I value very highly in his direction of training kids, and some psychologists on the other side, but some child psychologists in the 70s and 80s stated that you can't lay a hand on them, you may warp them. You may warp their behavior. That is not, number one, it is anti-biblical, and number two, we have found out it doesn't work very well. Proverbs 23:13. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Now, Papa would probably not do this with little Catherine. And probably not even the other eight. As a matter of fact, Pa normally comes to the rescue when they've been chasing a little. But it is scriptural, sound advice, my friends. If we never discipline our child's behavior, if we never correct the behavior of an adult who is breaking the law, life will be hard. That's why we have the instruction that we have here from Solomon. And further, disciplining them with the rod of correction under control. I said it already, I'll say it again. I'm not talking about being abusive. I'm not talking about out of control anger. I'm talking about discipline with controlled emotions and loving them to the point of correcting that behavior. I realize that some of you are going through these verses and probably thinking, that's what I'm talking about. And some of you are going to be mad as hops at me for suggesting these methods. I'm simply passing along to you the Word of God. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to themselves brings shame to their mother. You already know all these existed though, right? This would mean yes, you already knew these all were all here. Have you thought about this? Nobody wants a mother to be shamed by their child. Friends, listen to me. I've told you this. Matter of fact, the last time I got to speak to our young people, I talked a little bit about choices. We're going to have to make choices every day. We start making choices when we're little. And that continues right on into adulthood. We're going to have to make choices every day. Some of the choices we make aren't going to be too good. Some of them, as a matter of fact, are going to be outright wrong, starting at a very young age. And some of our choices, even as adults, are going to be bad, and there's going to be consequences. But if our bad behavior is corrected early, maybe there'll be less bad behavior as we grow into adulthood. I've sat in many a jail. Matter of fact, everyone around here, within 40 or 50 miles, listening to men and women alike. And I don't know if they were taught the ways of God when they were little. I don't know if they were disciplined properly. I don't know any of that. But they're sure in a mess now. Maybe some loving correction, as Solomon suggests in the Proverbs here, maybe some discipline, some structure, some loving correction up front would have helped some of that behavior. I don't know. The Bible says it would have. And so let me close with this, friends. God loves you. God loves us. But we just got done looking at Proverbs 6. He hates some behaviors. And out of love for the lost, He will redirect. And sometimes that's painful. You know what I'm saying? He will redirect the wayward out of love for the alleged believer, follower of Christ. He will correct because of His love for us and unwillingness to let us take ourselves into self-destruct mode, or worse yet, into hell. So God will correct our behavior. And so I suggest to us as adults today, if we're going through some correction, then we need to repent. And we need to come to the Father in humility and say, I'm listening. I recognize that Your hand on my life, this obstacle, this hurdle, this difficulty, whatever it is, if you have been going through correction, adults, it's because He loves you. And He doesn't want you to go any farther down that path. And so, friends, Solomon reminds us in the Proverbs, it's good to start early and readjust bad behavior so they grow up to know the Lord and to love Him and to serve Him and to be citizens that are on this side of the bars of the jail and citizens that are helpful and loving their neighbors as they love the Lord, their God, with all their strength. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We love You. We need You. We need You in our homes. We need You in America. We need You in our church houses. We need You in government. We need You in our schools. We need You in our businesses. We need You every hour of every day. Forgive us when we have thought we didn't. Father, thank You for loving us so much that You will correct us. Your Word says that in both the Old and the New Testament. Your Word also reminds us that our sin will find us out. Thank You for correcting us when we have ventured into sin. Thank You for loving us that way. Help us to be loving and encouraging and instructing to our children, to the next generation, to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord so that they will follow You and serve You and trust You and love You all of their lives. Thank You for everyone here. Go with us now, Father. Bless the Sunday school. Bless the people that'll travel. Bless their time together. Bless the team, the praise team's time at Bell Hill this afternoon singing. May it all be done for Your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.